Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In the news, we have another example of mankind's sinful condition and human depravity. Another example that again establishes God's holiness and man's utter moral inability. As we read in Romans chapter 3, the sinfulness of man is evident, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. The sinful actions of humanity leave the world without excuse. They clearly demonstrate that God is right and man is evil. Man's a problem, not God. And as we see world events unfold, it gives us all the more reason to turn to Christ for salvation. Because salvation is not going to be found in man or in the governments of men. The news story I'm covering this week is also a prime example of what happens when a nation abandons God and biblical truth in favor of secular humanism. Evil quickly proliferates. Crime flourishes because the sinful flesh no man can tame. Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe, to do all of his commandments, you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. And in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, look what happens to people who do not honor God or give thanks. God gives them over to their default natural state, degrading passions and depraved mind. You know, a nation that abandons God becomes a primitive hellhole, so also families and individuals. The news event that demonstrates all this is President Trump's executive order to bring the National Guard and federal law enforcement into Washington, D.C. to clean up the crime. The crime, the theft, the murders, the filth in Washington, D.C. is no small thing. But because people have become accustomed to sin, blinded by their sin, they don't see it. They don't feel it anymore. They have little conviction against it because it's become the new normal. In the song America the Beautiful, we read, "Thine alabaster's cities gleam, undimmed by human tears." In the 1890s, when that song was written, that was generally true. American cities were righteous. They contained large churches, and our cities were the center of religious instruction. There weren't even protests in Washington until 1894. But now the city is a hotbed of crime, drugs, homelessness, plenty of protests. It's unsafe to walk the streets at night. Our capital has become Sodom. And history has repeated itself. The same thing happened to ancient Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, in her departure from God. The prophet Isaiah laments what happened to Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. In verse 22, your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. Notice the corruption was not just with common people on the streets, but the elite leaders were corrupt in their offices. America was at one time considered a light set on a hill, an example of how Christianity can make a nation clean and moral. As the French political philosopher Alex de Tocqueville said in 1835, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And it was the Puritan preacher John Winthrop in 1635 who gave the sermon describing America as a light set on a hill from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And Ronald Reagan popularized this in calling America a shining city upon a hill, a beacon of hope and freedom for all. But the point of Winthrop's original sermon was that the world is watching America. And if the people of America fail in their divine mission, the nation will no longer be a shining city on the hill, but a byword, an example of what happens to a people who abandon God. But as it is right now, America's current president is working a plan to clean up our cities by increasing law enforcement, starting with Washington, D.C. People question whether the moral solution is increasing policing in more jails. Now, of course, it's a spiritual problem, and cleaning up the city takes divine intervention and repentant hearts. But in any reformation, kings and officials need to do what God has called kings and officials to do. Arrest criminals. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of justice dispenses all evil with his eyes. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them. And all of the righteous kings in the Bible were commended for arresting the wicked. Even King David writes in Psalm 110, verse 8, every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all who do iniquity. Even the promise of the coming righteous king, the Messiah, was all about his judgment on evildoers. Isaiah chapter 11, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Well, I say all this for any sanctimonious Christians or religious people who think that the solution is mere spiritual. No wicked people need to be punished to make a society better. You know, the pushback against President Trump is due to a disbelief in sin and a disbelief that sin must be judged and punished. And this disbelief is the typical condition of the unsaved mind. It is the philosophy of paganism and humanism that's behind people being appalled by Trump's increase in law enforcement. And I'll get to that in a moment, but first the story itself. At the beginning of August, President Trump declared a public safety emergency in Washington, D.C., leading to the deployment of federal agents and National Guard troops. The action temporarily placed the D.C. Metro Police Department under federal control. And of course, the left is trying to use lawfare, federal judges, to stop Trump in this. But the reason for Trump's action is the high crime rate in D.C. and the massive scandal in the D.C. police. Investigators have discovered that the police department was deliberately underreporting crimes in the city to give the impression that the city's administration was doing a great job. The chief of police in D.C. is literally a DEI hire. She was hired by the D.C. police in 2022 to be the chief equity officer, a DEI enforcer. And she was made chief of police 1 year later in 2023. The criticism is that she's unqualified for the job, that she's a lightweight when it comes to understanding police work. You know, I'll just leave that up to others to judge. But there is definitely a moral and competency problem in the D.C. police. And this is the outcome of ungodliness. Civil leaders become infantile. That's Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. Trump has also signed an executive order rescinding D.C.'s own sanctuary city status. Trump has also ordered the dismantling of homeless camps. You don't have a right to live anywhere you want. Trump has eliminated cashless bail in D.C., the no bail, no jail policy. Trump has also put the bulldog Judge Jeanine Pirro as the D.C. federal prosecutor. The police union in D.C. is actually backing Trump's federalization of their force and the deployment of National Guard. The police on the beat are tired of having their hands tied by the leftist D.C. government. You know, we should also be aware of this history behind the decline of D.C. It was originally under the authority of the federal government and the president, but in 1973, Congress gave D.C. self-rule. Here's a piece by a conservative legal expert, Michael Davis, explaining what needs to change in D.C. Quote, another massive problem involves the unconstitutional Home Rule Act of 1973, which gave the ultra-blue D.C. its own radical local government to oversee day-to-day affairs in our nation's capital. For decades, local criminals and their enablers in city government and on the courts have held hostage our nation's capital with crime, homeless camps, chaos, and filth. By coddling real criminals and persecuting his political enemies, former President Biden took D.C. back to levels we have not experienced in decades. President Trump recently invoked Section 740 of this statute to federalize the D.C. Police Department. President Trump also controls the D.C. National Guard and is deploying hundreds into the city to restore order. This D.C. Home Rule Act of 1973 is a half-century-long national disaster. Congress must make its repeal a high priority, returning control of Washington to the American people where it belongs under the Constitution, unquote. So since Trump has federalized the D.C. police, there have been over 1,000 arrests and a 50% drop in violent crime. Trump gave a speech at the Kennedy Center where he made some great points about cleaning up D.C., that our nation's capital should be a clean city, not a slum. D.C. should be a crime-free zone. It represents America. Foreign diplomats come to America and say their own capitals look better and the people behave much better. And that has to end. Now, the story here is about the need for civil government to be an avenger against those who do evil. Romans chapter 13, verse 4. That's the main duty of government. A duty of government that lawless people despise. The story here is also about when there's an increase in evil, there needs to be an increase in law enforcement. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 2, by the transgression of the land, many are its princes. In other words, more laws, more judges. But the big story in all this is the pushback we're seeing against this law enforcement coming from leftist ideologues and politicians. When they see a thief, rather than wanting to prosecute him, for some odd reason, they're pleased with him. And they hate discipline and punishment. That's Psalm chapter 50. But to the wicked, God says, for you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. Now, in their pushback against Trump, they may believe it's compassion for the criminal or it's charity. But according to Scripture, it's the spirit of lawlessness, an aversion toward punishment, toward sin. And they may believe this is coming from their compassion and caring for people. But why do they care for people in such a way? Because if you love people, you may want to protect the victims and teach criminals a lesson. Unless you have a camaraderie or spiritual unity with the criminals. The pushback against law enforcement in D.C. is just an amazing thing to behold, with many lessons of biblical proportions. There's a moral reason why an employee at the Department of Justice screamed into the faces of National Guard men and threw a sandwich at them. I wonder what might be that reason. He has since been fired. And another DOJ staffer, Elizabeth Baxter, was fired for giving the National Guard the finger. Pam Bondi posted, if you're opposed to our mission and disrespect law enforcement, you will no longer work at the DOJ. But we wonder what might be the reason why this woman is so offended by more law enforcement in D.C. because she doesn't believe any crime is going on? Or there may be another reason. Here's a story. Police in D.C. get yelled at while setting up a checkpoint along popular nightlife corridor. Young people outside the bar are chanting to the National Guard, "Get off of our streets." You know, they want more police, like a mouse would want more cats. Democrat politicians and pundits have also been vocalizing their opposition to Trump's increased law enforcement. They are so opposed to law enforcement, and they believe that they have so many people in the public on their side that they're willing to be known as the party that's opposed to law enforcement. And that's strange. What's going on here? Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democrat minority leader, says Democrats will do everything in their power to stop Trump's anti-crime policies in D.C. That's really strange. The Democrats used to at least give some lip service to law enforcement. Trump mentioned that he might send in the National Guard to crack down on crimes in other out-of-control, crime-ridden cities like Chicago. So the mayor of Chicago signed a protective order to try to block Trump's National Guard deployment. He vowed to take any action necessary to stop the National Guard, or other law enforcement, from coming to Chicago. The mayor said, "What this president is doing is declaring war on homeless people, picking on poor people, picking on the most vulnerable. We're not going to surrender our humanity to this tyrant. The history of Chicago has a long history of standing up against tyrants, resisting those who undermine the interests of working people." So I wonder what interests and what working people the mayor is defending. The Democrat governor of Illinois, Pritzker, said the following: "There's no crime emergency in Chicago, and Trump is attempting to manufacture a crisis, politicizing Americans who serve in uniform and continuing to abuse his power to distract from the pain he is causing working families." I didn't realize Trump was causing pain to working families. But anyway, he goes on to say Donald Trump wants to use the military to occupy a U.S. city, punish its dissidents, and to score political points. If this were happening in any other country, we would have no trouble calling it what it is, a dangerous power grab. So rather than appreciating the law enforcement and the help, for Pritzker, it's an affront to increase law enforcement. And ironically, that weekend after making the comment, Chicago saw 35 people shot, 5 fatally. Does Pritzker really care about the crime problem? At a DC strategy meeting this summer, one speaker who leads a Democrat justice organization said Trump is not about safety. This is a political power grab. He will do whatever he can, whether that's at the ballot box or taking over our cities. Migrant crime and carjackings do not matter to many Americans. And in the statement, we see one of the reasons why the Democrats are pushing back against Trump. They don't have a firm conviction against sin. Migrant crime and carjackings don't matter. And losing your conviction against sin always happens when people abandon God. The conscience is seared. Deviance is defined downward. Crime, prostitution, immorality is no longer a big deal. And there must be something wrong with you if you're against these little sins. And we've all experienced these people. They were the people I hung out with when I was in high school. Many of my friends thought it was nothing wrong with getting drunk on the weekend, smoking weed, cheating on a test, stealing something from the classroom. But now these peers of mine have grown up and have become our political leaders. And not only are they in political power, but now they're educated and have come up with high-sounding justifications for their lawlessness, calling it justice, compassion, equity. So we're dealing with the wicked described in Psalm chapter 50. When they see a thief, they're pleased with him. But this is more than just about naivety and a seared conscience. I want us to consider the fact that these political leaders are opposed to the law because they're actually criminals themselves. And I believe the public is generally naive in this regard. These politicians, pundits, bureaucrats who oppose law enforcement are taking bribes and doing crack, along with the majority of the public who is opposed to Trump's policies. Remember back in 1990, the mayor of D.C., Marion Barry, was arrested on cocaine charges. Here are some articles in this regard. In the wealthy enclaves of Nantucket, they found higher than average cocaine levels in the sewer water. They originally were testing for COVID, but they discovered that all of these rich, elite New Englanders were doing cocaine. A couple of years ago, a group of Democrat politicians in New York were busted for cocaine. Here's an article from Rolling Stone about politicians linked to cocaine. Here's an article from the Daily Mail, red, blue, and high all over, mapping America's drug and alcohol habits along political party lines, and D.C. is among the worst offenders. Here's a piece from a federal agency, the National Drug Intelligence Center. Cocaine, particularly crack, represents the most serious drug threat to Washington, D.C. Cocaine abuse is associated with more drug treatment admissions to public funded facilities, emergency department visits, and deaths than any other drug. Cocaine is readily available and relatively inexpensive. Approximately 75% of all federal drug sentences in D.C. are crack-related. Additionally, most organized crime drug enforcement task force investigations are cocaine-related. Colombia drug-based trafficking organizations are the primary source supply of D.C.-based criminal groups. Well, and wouldn't you know it, during the Biden administration, they found cocaine in the White House. Surprise, surprise. So let's not be naive. Many of these social leaders who are opposing Trump's crackdown on crime are doing so because they're doing lines of crack in back rooms. And the reason they have an aversion to law enforcement is because they're into illegal activity themselves. And that's why they're screaming obscenities at the National Guard. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 28, outwardly they appear righteous before men, but inwardly they're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, there's a culture war going on in America between the lawless and those who believe in the law. So don't be fooled by the cries of those who support lawlessness. There's one final biblical story that illustrates what's going on in D.C. and the pushback. It's found in the book of Judges during the time of Israel's apostasy. Judges chapters 19 through 21, the Benjamite Wars. A traveler from the tribe of Ephraim went through the tribe of Benjamin to retrieve his wife. There's a whole story behind that, which is for another day. But the men of the Benjamite city of Gibeah raped and murdered this man's wife. The man informed the rest of the 11 tribes of Israel about the crime, and the elders of those tribes demanded that the elders of the tribe of Benjamin and the city elders of Gibeah turn over the men guilty of the crime. But they refused. Judges chapter 20, then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout the entire tribe of Benjamin saying, "What is this wickedness that has taken place among you? Now then, deliver up the men, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove this wickedness from Israel." But the sons of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the sons of Israel. So the 11 tribes went to war with the tribe of Benjamin, and the tribe of Benjamin was annihilated. So why did the elders of Gibeah and Benjamin refuse the law enforcement offered by the other tribes? Because they were into the same sins as the criminals they were protecting. They were of the same spirit as those criminals. And we can be sure that there were many justifications coming from the Benjamites, that they were resisting the tyranny of those other tribes, that they were defending the rights of their working people, that this was really a power grab by those other tribes. And I'm sure they certainly believed those justifications for not turning over the criminals, because they couldn't imagine these other tribes would be so outraged over their sin, because they certainly weren't outraged over the sin. So let's not believe the excuses. The reason people despise law enforcement is because they are practicing lawlessness themselves. And the story of the Benjamite War is recorded in the book of Judges to demonstrate how evil Israel had become. And the story we now see in the news about the need for more law enforcement in Washington, D.C., and the pushback from leftist politicians demonstrates how evil the United States has become. In Romans chapter 3, the sin of mankind proves God's assessment is right. We need to flee to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for salvation. Thanks for listening. Continue to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and may Jesus Christ reign.